Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
In Adair this week is Graeme McDowell. Now, McDowell is one of many golfers who've given up their PGA Tour membership to become part of LIV Golf, which, as we're all aware by now, is backed by Saudi Arabia. The Breakaway series has come under much criticism due to accusations of sports washing. Despite numerous recent major winners signing up to LIV, the world number 379 McDowell has, for many, become the focal point for much of the criticism. A lot of this probably stems from answers he's given in various press conferences when questioned about Saudi Arabia's human rights record and their connection with LIV. Well, a short time ago, McDowell, who hails from County Antrim and won the US Open in Pebble Beach back in 2010, spoke with Greg Allen down in Adair. He spoke about what the last few weeks have been like, about being told on social media that he should die, and firstly, about the reception he's received in County Limerick today.
There's no focus on LIV. There's no focus on the negativity that's surrounding the game of golf. JP McManus has brought, you know, five tours together and, you know, some of the most important people in golf. Maybe the last time these people are together for a little while. And, you know, let's hope they can all sit down over a pint of Guinness tonight and maybe try and sort stuff out a little bit.
So when you took your spikes on, put them on this morning and walked out, did you expect there to be an atmosphere that might have been less welcoming?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. You know, I'm here maybe not feeling as celebratory and welcome as I was maybe 12 years ago. Last time I was here, I just won the US Open, and you know, it was a real celebration for me. But this time, oh, I'm obviously here under slightly more negative connotations, and I'm disappointed that that's kind of where we are in the world of golf. But you know, again, there's a, you know, obviously the consequences surrounding LIV and kind of all the negativity that's been spun. And you know, listen, the people were great to me this morning. I mean, I think two people maybe even mentioned it, and mostly they were just saying, I think you're making the right decision, you know. So, you know, Irish golf fans they're golf fans, you know. They love golf, and they're proud of their players, and I felt like they were still proud of me out there this morning.
So you've signed on the dotted line of LIV, and that's the decision is made. I know it was a tough decision for you. Did you expect there to be such blowback? And there's been considerable blowback, and you suffered it particularly at a press conference in the Centurion just over a week ago.
Yeah, I expected negativity. I expected consequences. But, you know, the sort of level of the, you know, how vitriolic the attacks have been, you know, pretty scary, really. You know, like I say, I can't jump on my social media without someone telling me to go die every day, you know, which is... it's pretty interesting, you know. At the end of the day, I'm just a pro golfer who's made a business decision that's based on money. I've never thought about where money comes from in 20 years out here, you know. And I mean, I've played in all parts of the world, you know, from China to the Middle East to all over Asia to South Africa to, you know, listen, I've never hyper-analyzed the morals and the ethics behind those dollar bills that I've made all, you know, my career. And, you know, this opportunity obviously has came with a huge negative spotlight over the Saudi regime. I mean, does that mean every person in Saudi Arabia is a bad person? The people running LIV Golf are bad people? No, they're not bad people. They're just trying to run a golf tour, and it's a very good one, and it's attracting some of the best players in the world.
So when you did sign on the dotted line for LIV, did you weigh up the human rights record in Saudi Arabia versus what you were taking, which was a business decision?
I acknowledged the things that have happened in Saudi Arabia. I've acknowledged their history and what the regime are responsible for. You know, and you have to put that to one side and realize that that's over there. This is professional golf over here, and we're not the only sport making money playing their sport in Saudi Arabia. Middle East, you know, we've spent lots and lots of time out there as part of the European Tour. They've been in the golf ecosystem since 2019. The European Tour brought these guys to the table. I won their tournament in 2020. You know, when that $1 million landed in my bank account, no one told me in my Twitter account that week to go die, you know. So, this is such a competitive threat. The narrative has been built around the fact that these guys should not be in golf. They should not be in sports washing, all of the above, you know what I'm saying? And I get it. I get people's opinions. I get where they're coming from. But I think it's unfair that that sits on my shoulders. It's unfair that it sits on any of the golfers' shoulders because, you know, we're just professional athletes that have made a living around the world for many, many years. And we certainly don't claim to try and solve any situations in any country at any point, you know, when we're out there playing.
So the accusation of sport washing, that you're contributing to it, And yet, Saudi money has been in horse racing for more than 40 years. It's been in all facets of international trade. This country does 800 million euro worth of trade with Saudi Arabia. So you just regard this as being business, like that's business. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I mean, they're some of the biggest countries in the world, you know, from FedEx to MasterCard, you know, to some massive companies that are doing business in Saudi Arabia, you know, Rolex and Apple and, like, you know. This has been an unbelievable media negativity campaign that's been put together to try and make this look like the worst decision a golfer can make. And I'm not sure why we have been targeted over the last few months the way we've been targeted, because, like you say, of all the corporate, you know, industries around the world that do business in Saudi Arabia, to all the sports that have been involved in Saudi Arabia for so many years, why are we the ones carrying this burden and carrying this kind of this accusation that, you know, we should not be involved with these people? You know, I just, you know, it's been horrendous, it's been horrible, and I just, you know, can't wait for the day where we can start talking about something else, you know. But that day's not going to come for a little while, and you know, in the meantime, can't believe I'm even still talking about it here right now. You know, I should really learn from my mistakes and just say nothing, get on with it, you know, because that seems to be the only answer right now, is just to say no comment and hope for the best.
Yeah, but that's not you. You've always been forthcoming. Is there anything perhaps in that regard you have misjudged in the last while, or do you feel that that is part of what the whole bigger decision was like before you signed on the dotted line and you were ready to take these difficult questions?
Well, I mean, you know, you train and you get ready for the difficult questions, but in hindsight there is no answer to them. You know, I think that's probably my biggest regret, is trying to answer some hard questions, you know, in a logical manner, when every word I say just gets absolutely torn apart, you know. So it's probably my only regret. Like I say, I knew the consequences, I knew kind of what to expect from a PGA Tour fallout, from a DP World fallout. I knew what was going to happen. I made my peace with that. The Ryder Cup stuff, disappointing, but I got to make my peace with it and see what happens. You know, when it comes to the media side of the stuff, I mean, I just had no idea that it was going to be quite this gruesome. And like I said, probably should just try and say less.
Probably it would be better if everybody in your position just said it's for the money, it's not for growing the game, it's not for expanding the game. Is that kind of something that maybe everybody should actually just speak their mind?
For sure. I mean, you know, it's not in LIV Golf's interest for us to sit there and just say it's about the money. No one has denied that this is not a business decision. It is about the money, of course. But then we start talking about what LIV is and what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to take golf to markets around the world that haven't seen golf. They're trying to create a new product, which is going to bring younger fans to the game. Like, that's all truth. But you can't say it because you just get ripped, because it's not about that. These guys said they're trying to grow the game.
You have a wife, you have a family at home in Northern Ireland. Is everybody, like, in your greater circle dealing with this? Because it has been a difficult time.
You know, listen, when I'm plastered on the front page of the Belfast Telegraph, do you think that makes my family happy, you know? Because some guy from Amnesty International, I didn't respond to his comments. I mean, how am I supposed to respond to Amnesty International? Of course, like, that's not who I... Like, I'm not some peace ambassador, you know what I mean? I'm just a pro golfer who, you know, tries his best to do his job. Like, it's been a very difficult time. You know, it's probably me that kind of takes more personally than I should. My wife's been strong through it. You know, my folks, thankfully, have been in Florida, so they haven't really seen too much of the Irish press. It's hard, you know, it's been very difficult. And like I say, hopefully it will pass soon and we can just continue to get on with what we're doing and let the kind of powers that be in the world of golf try and work themselves out.